And we're here.
I don't understand.
Finally. A little bit of dead silence.
Took us a while to get here. Oh, that's totally edible.
Aw. We should leave it in. They'll never know. Alright. So, episode number 7?
I think it'll be the last one plus 2 now.
Alright.
Episode number 7.
Alright, once again, we have a special guest, Pat Hazard.
I am a special guest. And we also have another special guest, Emily Martinez, but she is a veteran on the show now. Well, and really, in reality, you know.
Can't just be a novice.
Well, no, because seven episodes in, 2 is a veteran. You look at percentage-wise.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 7 out of 7. Chris is 12 out of 7.
Oh, 12. Forgot about those others.
Sweet.
All right, so this is going to be a very special episode, I believe.
Very special episode. Yes.
All right. This because gonna, I surprised you a little bit.
With my research paper.
Yes. So, it's been a whole week since we asked it. Do you have any idea what it was?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Well, in short, it was a long question. It was how do you balance your faith with your political decision-making with, you know, this being an election year? And making your decision for, you know, who you're going to vote for. I think first, right off the bat, it's important, you know, voting is a personal matter. There's a lot of people who do not vote, a lot of Christians who do not vote.
Then I'm cool with that. The only way to waste your vote is to vote. Okay.
Okay, now you have homework. All right, go ahead. The only way to waste your vote is to vote.
Yes. Okay. You have a choice of 2 people.
Right.
You do not agree with either one of them. Okay? So you would be voting for the lesser of 2 evils.
Right.
Voting for the lesser of 2 evils is still voting for evil.
That's true. But it's also... Do you feel... Let's say you're voting for... This is a really tough one. But you're voting for Hitler or Napoleon. I'm not... There was a reference made to Hitler and Obama made earlier this year, which was totally foolish, and that was, of course, as we all know, that was Monday Night Football, the singer of that song, and he lost his spotlight, it was taken out of context or whatever. You said it. We're not doing that here. But let's say they're looking at voting at Hitler or Napoleon. And I think in that case, you leave the country and you hide. It's not
so
a matter of voting.
You're not voting.
Well, you're leaving. But in the case of free will and laws, it's not about a legal matter. It's about personal choice. And then I think that, because it's never going to be your way, right way, every way. There's always going to be evil in what. In the person, if he does agree with you in every part of you, he's not getting elected. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, because that person does not exist.
Sometimes
I look at some of the people out there right now running, and I like some of their, like, in some of their faith platforms. I really agree with. I really like to see it. But when it comes to some of their political decisions, it's like, are you out of your mind? So they don't line up perfectly. You know, I really liked Mike Huckabee. I really liked Mike Huckabee, who did not get elected ultimately because he's a pastor. That's what the only dirt they could pull up on him was he was a pastor, which I think is a shame. But I liked Mike Huckabee. I did. I did not agree with everything Mike Huckabee said. I liked when George Bush was elected. You know, a lot of people, there's a lot of sides that disagree with this. There's things I disagree with George Bush adamantly. There are also a lot of things I really, really support on. What I liked about George Bush is what he said he was going to do, he did. You were not wondering what he was thinking. And the same can be said about Obama. I mean, there's a lot of people who do not like President Obama, but he is our president. We did vote him in a landslide election. This was not a close election by any means. And you know what you're getting. You know, with these new guys coming out, there's a lot of questions. I think it's a matter of extremes. A vote made where you're deciding between the lesser of 2 evils, I don't think that's just a throwaway vote. I don't think I've ever voted for someone that I was just totally, oh, this is the person. there were always some type of cancer in the skin. You know, there's some type of something. Last year, it was a hard election because when it came down to it, when you look at your primaries, you're looking at Obama. Obama's platform is not what I didn't agree with his platform, but it was an experience that I was just mystified with, that people would vote someone in who had not been in the Senate a full year, a full term. And then on the other side, look who we had representing for us, which just totally, it was, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Do you not know? I mean, we lost an election, and then you went to the intermediates, the independents, that were just up and down. There was no real good one. But a vote not cast can also be said as a vote cast for the person you don't want.
Yeah, mine never wins. I voted independent last time.
Yeah. Well, and people will say a vote independent is a vote Democratic, which mathematically right now in this day and age it is. It really is. But I think people need to vote their conscience more than anything. We get into the voting game of it all. But you listen to the politicians talk, it's a game. It's a game to these guys. For a lot of these guys, they scratch each other's backs. They hate each other on camera. They go out to dinner with each other when the cameras are off. They're very close friends. There are a couple that can't stand each other. But for the most part, it's politics. It's what it is.
Wait, it's politics?
It's their career. And so they're tickling the ears of people who want to listen, and want to feel like someone's doing what they want them to do. It's very sad. I'm very disappointed in our political structure. When you read, if you take an economics class, take a government class, and you want to go outside and just scream, because we do not have Congress reining in on justices, which they're supposed to be doing. The balance that Congress has is to rein in on Supreme Court justices. We do not have, right now we have a president who is very assertive, and I mean, I think assertive all the wrong way. I think this couple of times he's had to go back on himself. He's made some very extreme left-wing promises that he's had to go back on. So it's kind of funny to see some of the extreme left-wing attacking him. We do not see the branches that we see justices that are instead of making decisions based upon the letter of the Constitution, they're making their own interpretation of it, which then all these other sub-justices are using those interpretations to make these laws. Every time I hear separation of church and state, I want to rip my ears out, which would be quite painful, by the way. There's a lot of nerves and muscle and tissue connecting them. There is no separation. It's a clause. It was a clause. Yet it's now stated as if it's an amendment. And the separation of church and state was never meant to protect to attack the church and to defuse the church. It was meant to protect the free will right of people to have a religion that was not governed by the church, and to protect people from the church becoming a government, because the church should never be a government. So we are now in the ramifications of, and it's still going on, of people not doing their jobs. So I think that a vote not cast is a vote lost. It's a vote in the opposite direction. Again, if it gets to a place where the two evils are of Napoleon and Hitler, that's not a place not to pass. There's no vote to cast in that situation. You won't be voting. No one voted with Hitler. Once he got in, it was over. Lenin convinced the people that he took over. So I think. That can be extreme, because I do get disappointed that I served the way I served. That we went overseas, and both my hostile fire tours was about setting up elections, right? It was both about setting up elections. Haiti, we were supposed to be there for a month. We were there for a year and 2 months, trying to set these guys up their own democratic election for the first time. So many politicians were killed. Any politician that spoke out against the guy that was running up front. I mean, these guys got shot to death. They were butchered in their homes. They were killed in the streets. And after a year and a month, we finally secured the first election. 5% of the population registered, like 7% of the registered population voted. I mean, it was ridiculous. And then, so the one guy, well, there was the one guy that was not allowed to run. His name was President Aristide. He was not allowed to run. That was part of the conditions. He was the leader at the time that we came into. He was a cardinal of the church. He's also the leader of the country. Worked out real well for him. Not so good for the Haitian people. So he's not allowed to run if we do this. So his puppet, anyone who ran against him, was killed. Not because President Aristide did, of course. Had nothing to do with it. So this guy has the election. This guy gets voted in. Guess who got voted in the next election?
President Aristide?
President Aristide, yes. I mean, we wasted our time. And yet we have worked, and the people didn't respond to it. Yet we have this system here, as flawed as it may be, and people don't take advantage of it. There's an unknown law that says if you don't vote, you can't complain. You're not allowed to go to debates. You're not allowed to ask. If you go into the state hall and you want to sit in on a congressional meeting, they have the right to check if you voted or not. And if you did not vote, you got to go. It's your responsibility. That is part of your right. It's check it out. That is part of your right to be here. Because you voted, you're allowed in this room. If you didn't vote, you can't come in. And it makes sense. Because if you two are the politicians and I'm complaining about you and I voted against you, I at least took my responsibility and did what I was supposed to do, so I have something to stand on. So if I say, Chris, I do not agree with your decision, you have the right to say, well, did you vote? Well, no. Then my decision has nothing to do with you. You didn't make your voice heard. It's all part of the checks and balance process. A lot of people don't know that vote exists, and it's not followed to the T. But that law is on the books. It is a law. I don't know the statute number. It's one of those government class things that you're like, what? And it makes sense to me. In Bosnia, over there, these people were, I mean, we set up elections and they were finally able, you should have seen them. The whole nation came out for the first chance to let their voice be heard. And I remember me and a good friend of mine named Matt were arguing. Matt was a hardline liberal and I was a hardline conservative. And we're arguing about Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. Okay, it's election year. And we are just going back and forth, back and forth. The Bosnian that was our interpreter in the guard check with us begins to cry. And he was a sizable guy. He was a big guy. Strong guy. His name was T. Begins to cry. No, his name was Frank. T was another guy. Frank begins to cry. He's a drum player. Remember that. And I'm like, Frank, what's the matter? He goes, you don't understand. You guys are in this room. You're best friends. And you're disagreeing politically. In my country, we kill each other for that. If you don't, yeah. It was amazing to hear that kind of stuff. We have the right to disagree. My answer to your question, you might disagree with. It doesn't make you right or you wrong. It doesn't make me right or me wrong. It supports the fact that we need to keep this thing going. Right. Because we have the right to disagree. If it's not said, this is what it says, then no one can say, my way's right. And if they do that, then we're in a dictatorship. And we need to shut it all down. You follow me? Mm-hmm. So there's a responsibility, I think, that voters have to have. And it's not just to show up and vote, because this is what I'll agree with you on, Chris, on that is if all you do is on election day is quickly look at who's voting, call your friends and say, who should I vote for, and go vote, you've destroyed the whole process. Pay attention to the debates. You know, there are a lot of radio stations that are, you know, they try to be as close to the middle as possible. But even if you want to have your ears tickled, let's say you're a hardline conservative, you want to listen to hardline conservative radio, at least you'll get some type of news. And if you're hardline liberal and you want to listen to a hardline liberal station, you'll have some type of news. You'll at least know what the amendment is somewhat about. It might not be a very, you know, good perspective on it, objective perspective on it, but at least you'll know the amendment's there. To me, it's the people that have no clue what's going on, and on election day, they're like, what should I do? And I want to say this carefully, because I know people who call me on election day and say, what should I do? And it is what it is. At least they're doing that. Because when they ask me, I tell them, because they know to ask me, because I'm going to tell them what it's for and what it's against. That's what I'm here. So I try to, what is it for? What is it against? And to answer your question, that's what I'm approach both sides. Because the Bible does not say This is how you'll vote. This is how you'll handle this gift. The Bible doesn't say that. Never does. But it leads us down directions, and there's some things we can pull out of the Bible to answer that question. You know, you said that, you know, you know drugs are bad for people. And you know drugs are wrong, but you're for the legalization of all illicit drugs. Because what affects another person, and if it doesn't affect me, why should it be a law? I think there is a level of truth to that. Let me say this clearly, because I don't think it's all right. But I think there's a level of truth that the government cannot decide what's good for people as an individuals. If a person wants to take his own life, I think the person has the right to. If he's single and has no cousins and has no brothers, sisters, you know, no one is that way. So there are very few things that I can do to affect my life that will not affect people around me. But where they go crazy with these seatbelt laws, you know, a lot of that stuff is money. When you look down to it, it's insurance companies wanting money and going after the government to make laws to protect their assets. That's what it's about. There's a law they try to get passed, and they're still trying to get it passed, and they try every few years. And that is, if you get into a wreck and you don't have your seatbelt on, your insurance doesn't have to cover you. They have been pushing after that for years. In the military, we have what's called SGLI, which is Soldiers Group Life Insurance. They have 30-something different ways for you not to get your life insurance. So you have a $200,000 policy. But if you get into a wreck in a Humvee, and you have altered your Humvee in any way to make it more comfortable for you, no SGLI. You know, that would not fly in civilian world at all. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where they want to go with it, because it wants to protect their own interests. That SGLI wants to make sure that if you die, you died because you did nothing wrong. But that's not life insurance, you know. Okay. I think that illicit drugs do affect other people. I think that drugs are dealt with. They're dealt. They bring family members down. I think I'm on the other side of that. I think if we make drugs legal, we are going to have, I know there'd be a huge tax advantage to that. There'd be a huge financial advantage to that. There might be a drop in crime. Although I do feel like the cartels who make millions and billions and billions of dollars off of the drug trade, they might not go with this very well. You'd be surprised who comes out and supports this not happening. I also think if you take a good look at history, we had a time of our nation's history called Prohibition, where we made alcohol illegal. They realized quickly they had to legalize it. It was a whole different situation. And when they legalized it, they supposedly... But there's still issues they have in moonshine. There's still issues they have with certain things. But the question is, how far do you go? And I think that you look at marijuana. You know, marijuana is already basically legal as it is. And we're sending so many people on these different cat chases. I think as Christians, until it's legal, it's illegal.
Oh, yeah. You know? I fully support that.
What I'm getting around to is the idea that I still think that the government has to be very restricted in their ability to say what's safe for you as a law. That people have the right to hang themselves. It's just the way it is. And I think that our nation is the trouble that it's in right now financially, because we're taking on responsibility for people that we should not have. And that responsibility was initially designed to help them. But you know, FDR's New Deal was only supposed to be a 10-year solution. It was never supposed to be a long haul. And we've turned it, and that's why it's bankrupting. It cannot sustain us. We've taught families that you don't have to work. Mm-hmm. We'll pay for you. I have listened to tenants of people we've collected money from, for companies we work for, that have these Section 8 homes, explain to me that it's no reason for them to go to work. There's never any way they can make there's no way they can make the money working that they can make by the government giving them money. So for them, why would they go to work? Why would they work? It makes no sense for them. So I think that's where we've gotten ourselves. We're bankrupting. We're forcing our own crime. We're about to utopia ourselves. We're about to turn our society into a society that has to steal, and it scares me to death. It scares me for my children. You know, I have a kid walk up to my garage the other day. I'm in my garage, and I'm building some Christmas presents, and he walked out to me. He's probably about 13 to 12 years old with a group of kids his age. Hey, yo, give me that bite. I'm like, what? Hey, yo, give me that bite. He said, get out of here. No. Man, why not, man? Why are you tripping? It's the product. It's not a black-white thing. It's not a race thing.
Okay, I was going to ask if you meant race or you meant black, white, like,
Two different sides. It's we are taking our disadvantaged youth and we're making them more disadvantaged by not empowering them with the own ability to hang themselves. And that's tough to hear. But this guy right here made it to the streets of New York, made it in some really bad situations. And those streets and those basements and sleeping under stairs and in parks taught me I had to get my head together because hunger hurts. And hunger will drive a man to find what's out there to make him go forward. There are so many institutions that can empower people to move forward given the opportunity. Welfare is destroying. You know, churches, the church has an amazing ability to help people recover. That comes from the normal coming in of the offerings and normal stuff like that, that we don't do anymore because the government has taken everything. So I think there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. I think you're right.
You're going off on a math
problem? Tangent's not a problem. It's a line. That's okay. I think that you're right. And so how do we do this biblically? I got a couple of verses. Jesus talking to the people, the Jews, that were very corrupted during this time. When Jesus showed up, it was a political society. You have to remember the temple setup was supposed to be Levitical. Only Levites were allowed to work in the temple. Yet we had high priests who were not Levites. They were the tribe of Simeon. They were foreign tribes. And they were high priests because the Roman government had placed them in there. The Roman government was using Jews to in these positions and giving them a lot of power, authority, privilege. And they were manipulating that. And Jesus shows up and they're trying to pretend like they're the thing. And Jesus is supposed to be impressed. And Jesus said a lot of stuff against that institution. My opinion of Bible facts is there is no separation. There can be no separation for what we believe as Christians and what we have to do in the real world. Because if there is, then the Christianity is not real. I believe the Bible gives us plenty of room to maneuver in the world. It tells us, don't ask where the food came from. Because if you know, then you got a problem. It tells us to make the best decisions you can. The Bible flat out says to render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Don't get in his way. Give him what's his, but give to God what's God's. There's a lot of things. Paul used the Roman government as a means of ministry and as a means of getting, I mean, it ultimately cost him his life. But he used it. And I think the two roads meet just fine. Paul teaches this in Colossians 2. It says this, verse 6, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him, rooted up and built in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you, listen to this, through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. Government is a tradition of man. God never wanted man to be in charge. In the first instance where man tried to be in charge is the Tower of Babel. That's the first instance where we see a government starting and God destroyed it. Because he said the exact verse was if they get together they can do anything. The doesn't mean that we could have built a tower into heaven. That was they were trying to build a tower up into heaven. It would never have happened. They would end up running out of oxygen and kill themselves in the technology. But there is no end to what humans will do. Emily, you work with the police. Mm-hmm. You're a crime scene investigator.
Yes.
In the last several years, police patrols have gone to where they used to send you have a group of cops in a police car to where now they go one by one. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that.
Brutality.
Yeah, because you put two men in the same car. Remember the Rodney King, they started doing the studies with Rodney King. Rodney King was not a good man. He had attacked the police. It had gone a police chase. It's not like they just chased him down and beat him to death. You remember the Rodney King beat down in 91?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Rodney King was beat down in 1990. It was a huge thing on TV, and they made the police officers, they showed him, they were beating him. They beat into him. They messed up pretty good. But that man had attacked those police officers, and he went on a chase. They finally catch up to him, and they get him, and they're all raging. Well, they started doing tests. So they would plug electrodes, and they would see that the heart rates of the people when working together would jump above 200. Mm-hmm. They would sky highs. Yet if they were by themselves, they were calmer. They were collective. Because man, when men get together, when humankind, men, women, whatever, get together, we build off each other. Yeah, we feed off each other. And it can be a bad thing. So when you're by yourself, you realize it's just me. I have to make smarter decisions. Last night I was watching the Bourbon Street situation after, you know, after the game, and they have a lot of fights going on. There's this group of cops, and they're standing in a circle, and they keep calming each other down. It was amazing to watch. It was on TV. And this one guy finally ends up getting in a cop's face, and he is just screaming at him. Da, 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 da. You can see it. Unlike what I would have expected to saw growing up, the cops were able to, they left him. The other cops, they saw him, but they backed away. Instead of all surrounding the guy, they're trying to defuse the situation, to let the cop handle himself. Mm-hmm. That's training. We were never meant for a government. So we see in the Tower of Babel, the first attempt. Then to people in Samuel, go to Samuel and say, we want a king. And Samuel warned them, if you get a king, he's going to take, you are not made to be ruled by man. They demanded it. So government is a tradition of man. Look what it says here. Beware, verse 8, Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. As Christians, when we have this thing, we have this government, we have to operate within. So I think that we do have to, as Christians, I don't think it has to separate. In other words, I don't think it's a sin for you to vote for someone that you know does things that go against your beliefs. And this is why I say that. You have to make the best decision you can. If someone's running, let's say you have a Christian running, but the Christian running has no political history, no understanding of politics. He's on a mission to change the world. God doesn't, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God sent someone to take over the world.
Take over or to change?
To change, yes. But change through... See, the Bible says we don't have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is this. He's getting ready to die. He knows he's going to die. He kneels down at that rock at Gethsemane and says, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But your will be done. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is submission. We're going to change this world by submitting through God in this world. That's how we're going to change this world. God is not going to send someone to forcibly take over the world to change it for Christ. You follow me? It wouldn't work that way. So when we've, you know, there was a big, you know, I want to say it's careful because I said if someone's doing things I don't agree with, you vote for them. I think if someone's running and they are immoral and they're you're voting for things that are sinful, they are sinful. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be part of putting someone who is overtly in power. I'll vote independent. We'll find someone's got to be running that's not overtly sinful. If it's that bad, then it's over. And I have not seen that yet. You know, I also don't nitpick. I think if we don't nitpick, where someone uses, you hear someone using profanity, well, I'm not using them. Well, Christians curse. Let's just get this right. I mean, Christians curse. Okay. Christians sleep around. Adultery's wrong. It's a sin. But it's, you know, the founders of the faith have been sleeping around. You know, of course, you don't want to see it happen. You know, there's ramifications. It's terrible, but
they shouldn't have to answer to us for those type of things. They have to answer to God. And
I think it's all depending on the situation. I think they do have to answer to us if they have, you know, Newt Gingrich. And it's going to be very hard for him because he is the guy that was so overtly going after Bill Clinton, President Clinton, and the whole time he's having an affair. That's going to be very hard to run from.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the hypocrisy.
I think just if you put yourself in position as a pastor, any position where you have responsibility over people, politician, then your personal life is on the platform. Yeah. You know, with the situation that happened with Herman Cain.
Oh, the Pokemon guy.
Herman Cain, the Herman Cain situation. I don't understand how these guys get to this level and don't think those skeletons are going to come out. So,
I mean, that's why I've never run for political office.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a
weird
reason.
Yeah. That's me too. Let me say, Jesus said this, and we'll get to Mark chapter 7. They're trying to trap him. Pharisees and scribes ask him, why do disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? So they're going against the grain. This is a tradition. They're eating bread. They're trying to trap him. And he answers and says to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? It's a rough answer. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pitchers and cups, and many other things that you do. Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But if you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is Corban, that means a gift from God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and his mother. So they release people from God's command. I think there is no separation for us in our faith and our actions. If there is, then we have serious problems. Then we don't understand what's going on here, because our faith is supposed to be a faith in action. We're supposed to live out our faith. And that living out our faith also has to do elections. So, Chris, if you feel in your heart that voting is sinning against God, I'm being serious. If you feel that way and you vote, you're wrong. And I can't tell you can vote. You have to vote. I can't guilt you because it's a conviction. Mm-hmm. And until God deals with you on that, and he may never deal with you on that, because we're called to different things. And does it make sense that if we're called to different things, that we might have different opinions about things?
Yes. Right.
Things that sharpen us to do the cutting we need to do in our own life with others. And if you feel that you can overlook certain things, and you're being honest with yourself, and these things don't affect you, and you can vote this way or vote that way, no one has a right to say you're wrong. But if you're going to say, I know what God wants, but he has no part of this here, that's where this stuff gets us in trouble. Because God says, your traditions of men don't outdo me. You seek me. And that's why it's a hard line to cross. I look back at previous elections, and I don't see an election with someone that could not be voted for, with someone that could not be, you know, this person. I do not myself believe in the whole Democrat-Republican race and vote for one of the two. I have voted independent, and that's going to make drive people insane and get mad at me. I voted independent because I did not agree with what I saw with either or. And it's not that I know there's certain newscasters that I very much respect who very much are against what I just said. But I have to live by my conviction, and that's what I'm saying. I will not vote for someone who is innately sinful. I will not vote for someone who is okay with aborting children. I will not vote for that person. I don't care what they stand for or how popular they are. I will not vote for someone who wants to aggressively attack the whole world. America needs to follow its precepts from the beginning. Was
go back pre-World War II.
Pre-World War II. We need
up to World War
II. I think we have a responsibility to the world because we're in a much bigger world with our internet. We have a responsibility, I think, to help, to provide assistance. You know, I think sometimes we cross lines with a lot of the war that goes on. I'm not speaking against Afghanistan. I'm not speaking against Iraq.
Just in general.
In general, we have to turn our attention home. It's part of our problem. You know, we're ignoring our bleeding wounds while trying to take care of other people. And military medicine 101, you've got to treat yourself first. The first person you treat is yourself. Once your wounds are stopped, once you've recovered, you've stopped bacteria, you've stopped, then you can start helping others. But I think that, and like I said, it's going to be a long one. I don't think there is a separation. So if you feel like drugs should be legal, and it's because of a personal conviction situation going on, then that's no one can argue that out of you. All we can do is keep looking for facts and keep searching for facts. That's all we can ever do, even with my opinions.
Because basically, my opinion on that is, it's because the more you tell people what they can and cannot do, the more you are controlling people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could try and make a law saying you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I would never accept that law.
Right.
Okay, because the reason Christianity works is because you do not have to follow it.
Which institutions have tried to do that.
Yeah, you know. And that is for one reason, and that's another reason why you know, what the church, separation of church and state actually is doing right now, it can be used to attack Christians, but on the other hand, it protects us as well. You know, so I will support to keep that, you know, that.
Well, it's a clause. It's a clause that needs to go back to it. I think it's...
Yeah, because by us not being able to preach in schools, neither can other faiths that we do not agree with. Mm-hmm. And I support that, you know.
Right, and preach in school during school time. That's what it's there for.
Now, if you want to have extracurricular activities, mm-hmm. that's not a problem.
Which the other faiths can get, they get to have it too.
Yeah, because they have it as well. Mm-hmm. But you can't have one school or any government-run organization telling you what you should believe.
And that's yes, I agree. The school situation is a tough situation because schools, you have to go back to the history of the school again. Why public schools were designed to be reflections of the community. And what we've done and why we're destroying schools now is we've tried to turn our schools into reflection of the nation. What is our nation? What voice does our nation have? We don't have a voice. Yeah. We are a composition of thousands and thousands of different
societies.
One of
my favorite quotes of Obama, and I'm going to paraphrase, so it's not wrong, and he gets lambasted because everybody pick and choose. He was saying, we're not a Christian nation. We're not a Muslim nation. We're not, you know, all these other types of nations. We are a nation.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, And the fact is, we are not a Christian nation. And if you think we are, you need to take a really good objective history lesson.
Yeah.
America, you know, I would gladly pull out the books and let's you know, you think we're getting worse. We can pull out some books and see some terrible things that this nation has done from the very beginning, from the pre-conceptual America. Okay. You know, my wife is Native American. We can start talking about some church and state issues. You know, but we won't go there. The issue that, you know, schools, again, that's something that we need to be able to debate about. And I think if a debate happens and we vote that we can't preach in schools, then so be it. Yeah. That means the collective people said this is what they want. And I think if there's a community that says...
But you would also have to make the class... an elective.
That's an elective. Yeah, it'd have to be an elective. You can't force people to pray what you want to pray. And there'd have to be opportunities. There always were. There were options for people to go. Separation of church and state is a good clause, but it cannot be justified as an amendment. Mm-hmm. They use that to tell children they can't wear Jesus shirts to school. That's wrong.
Oh, no.
You know?
I couldn't say Muhammad because I can't wear Muhammad shirts. But, you know, I would fight for the right to wear a Jesus shirt. I would fight for, you know,
if someone Muslims to be able to pray. If they want to do their prayers, I don't have an issue with that. And Jesus didn't either.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be loving these people. I do not understand the war on other religions. Yeah. There is no shift of truth. There is one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's God the Father.
And by trying to force people to believe our way, you're doing nothing but pushing people.
We're doing no better than the institutions that are on the tips of our tongue, the big white elephant, and all the Protestant rooms. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same thing.
You know, the extremists. You know, you have your Muslim extremists. You also have your Christian extremists. For me, I put them in the same book. I do not support either one.
I think it's sad to see. I think it harms the Lord. I think it hurts the Lord to see us. Jesus came here. Again, what's the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was to take over nothing. Jesus came, and in fact, there's an interesting story. It's in Mark, where a woman comes and begs for a miracle, and he says it's not fit for the dogs to eat the bread. It's for the children. And she said, yes, Lord, but the dogs at least have the crumbs. And it was a test, because he says, he compliments the woman on her faith, and he heals her. Jesus came so that these Gentile nations could be saved. I would not be here today. My family history is Gentile. I would not be here today if not for that saving grace. Why aren't we doing that? And there are a lot of Christians who are. Mm-hmm. But if you turn on the TV, it's threats. When Haiti got hit with that hurricane, that earthquake, sorry. And the Christian churches on TV saying this is, you deserve this. Since when do we have any right to say you deserve this? Mm-hmm. What of this have we deserved? So I know.
One thing I just always find funny, I think it's what, anti-Semites, people that don't like the Jews?
Yeah.
You know, Christians that hate Jews, like all Jews. that always confuses me, since Jesus was a Jew.
They need to read their Bible, because Paul chews them up and down for that and says, realize God has hardened their heart. Okay, you are here only because God purposefully has done something to allow you to be brought in. You have been engrafted. You know, well, yeah, I find that funny as well. It's, you know, I am part Jewish.
You are?
I'm from New York.
Which part?
I'm from New York.
Oh, that part.
And my mother's mother married a Jew. It's not blood, so I'm not really part Jewish. But it is part. It's in the family.
If your mom's a Jew, you're a Jew.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's Grandpa Gene, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, and you know, he died a few years ago. Good man, very good man. Really enjoyed. He was a very good guy. But he was a Jew, and he was a Jew that became a Christian. But that's a pretty interesting part of the family.
Was he a Jew for Jesus?
I guess he would be a Jew for Jesus.
Or was he? Did he convert to Christianity, or is he just? Did he stick a Jew?
You know, he converted. But he was still Israeli. You know, Israeli heritage. You know, just like Italian heritage or whatever.
I just like the phrase "Jew for Jesus."
Well, that's awesome. I think that people. It's an election year. This is an important year. It's a big year, and I think that people really need to dive into scriptures and decide what they're going to do with this, and really really start thinking about it now, because primaries are coming. You know. If you don't register as a Republican or a Democrat, you can't vote in the primaries.
Yes, you can. In Louisiana, you can.
Can you really?
I'm a registered Libertarian. I can vote in both the Republican
But you're registered as a Libertarian then?
Yes.
So I'm sorry. You have to be registered as...
You can also if you're registered as an independent.
Doesn't have to be a certain type of independent that's made that 3% hit?
No. And it also all depends on different states, too. Well,
I learned something today, too. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's
like awesome. I think New Hampshire... Democrats can vote in the Republican primary.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So,
yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think this was a really good episode.
That's a really good question, and it's a challenging question.
I would touch more on this throughout the year, you know.
Well, we need to. You know, one of the things I want to see us doing, there are some things going on in the world, and I think it would be a good idea to have a current events.
I'm in.
Theme song. There you go. We got good. There it is. We got it down. So. We do appreciate people listening in. You know, have your questions. We do appreciate the questions. They keep coming in, and we can't do this without questions.
Yep. Questions at chrisasthehaz.com or 504-264-ASK1. They can't hear my smile.